This is your KBNF Regional Newscast for Friday, April 24th. I'm Audrey McCabe. The City of Montrose and the Montrose Rotary Interact Club are thrilled to announce that the Montrose Mutter is back for its fifth year. The two-day celebration kicks off with a concert and community celebration with a food truck village on Friday, May 8th. At the end of the night, Bright Flight Drone Shows will put on a show celebrating the 250th anniversary of the United States. The following day, Saturday, May 9th, is the Mud Run, where runners and adventure seekers of all levels take on a challenging, muddy course that the organizers say is equal parts fun and grit. You can find out more and register for the race at visitmontrose.com. And up in Grand Junction, the city's airport won more than $62.6 million in grant funding from the Federal Aviation Administration to help replace an aging runway. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that the grant is funded by the FAA's Airport Improvement Program. It comes with a stipulation that the airport match part of the sum, something the commission has approved using $750,000 from the Colorado Department of Transportation and an almost $4 million contribution from the airport itself. The project will take around 3 years and involve paving a new mile-long runway. The existing runway, which by then will have been used for 50 years, will be converted to a taxiway. The Fire Mountain Canal in the North Fork Valley remains shut down because of a structural failure of the bank of the canal in one section near Paonia. This comes at a critical time for the nearly 500 water users served by the canal that are starting their spring crops. Brody Wilson has an update on the repair work.
In last Friday's Farm Friday feature, KBNF covered the shutdown of the Fire Mountain Canal. We caught up with Steve Fletcher, general manager for the Fire Mountain Canal and Reservoir Company, to hear about the progress repairing the canal. Last time we talked with Steve, he mentioned that he had found the 8-foot pipe necessary for the project in Texas.
Well, actually, we didn't go with that pipe. It was way too expensive. It cost about $690 a foot. And we decided we found some a little bit better coming out of Billings, Montana right now. They're making it for us. In fact, it's just CMP or corrugated metal pipe, 8-foot diameter. And the first pipe should start showing up Monday. It's not like he's got word that I got two trucks coming in Monday with pipe on it.
That audio was a little garbled, but Steve said that they have the pipe on the way from Billings, Montana. It should be arriving in the North Fork Valley next Monday.
Equipment's on site. We've got the first, ready to set the first piece of pipe when it shows. They poured the footers today for the transition. The concrete wing walls and stuff going into the pipe. So they got that poured today. And right now we're just waiting for the pipe. Things are moving along pretty good.
I asked Steve about the timelines for the repair being complete and water in the canal.
We're hoping that probably the first of the week after, possibly the end of the week, but all kind of depends on how the pipe shows up. We did wind up having to put one fitting in it, and so that the 15 degree, and it just kind of depends on when we can get that in. And we're hoping to show up next week too, and we can keep moving, but we'll just have to see.
So those timelines are that at the earliest the water could be in the canal is at the end of next week, that's May 1st or 2nd, and more likely sometime on the week of May 4th. For KBNF News, I'm Brody Wilson.
The nonprofit Environmental Working Group has identified PFAS in water systems in Mountain West states that it says exceed health advisory levels. Jenny Kinsey has more.
The forever chemicals were found in dozens of public and private water sources. Urban runoff and military bases have helped to drive a surge in contamination in recent years in water sources in Colorado, Arizona, Idaho, Montana, and parts of Nevada and Wyoming. And in New Mexico, at least 15 water systems, including areas in and around Albuquerque, showed elevated levels. James Kenney, Secretary of the New Mexico Environment Department, says that since 2018, the federal government has been the biggest PFAS polluter.
They are the ones that have released more PFAS in this state than the chemical companies through consumer products.
Other hotspots, according to the working group, include areas near Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs and points along the Colorado River Upper Basin. I'm Jenny Kinsey in Albuquerque for the Mountain West News Bureau.
Colorado lawmakers are finalizing the state budget right now. It includes some major cuts to account for a $1.5 billion shortfall. Ray Solomon reports those cuts will be felt deeply by people across Colorado.
One morning at the state capitol earlier this month, Democratic Representative Emily Sirota stood up in front of her colleagues on the House floor to present the draft budget bill.
This has been a very, very challenging, difficult road that we have walked to bring you this bill.
Sirota co-chairs the powerful Joint Budget Committee, or JBC. Their job is to comb through all state income and spending to make sure the budget balances out. This year, it's been especially hard.
There's no easy way to cut $1 billion from this budget without touching on some of the key priorities and services that Coloradans care about.
Some of the biggest cuts are from healthcare, lowering Medicaid provider payments and reducing coverage for undocumented immigrant kids and pregnant women.
Every decision is a trade-off. Every dollar for one area is a dollar less in another.
No cost of living raises for state workers, less money for rural communities, local public health, and people who need help buying food, to name just a few. Sirota told her colleagues each decision weighed heavily.
This budget isn't just numbers. This budget is about human beings, the lives of Coloradans.
But which lives? Which Coloradans? Many of the people facing the brunt of the cuts say they don't feel lawmakers fully understand the impact.
This is something just for my high school's graduation.
12th grader Abby Christian of Highlands Ranch is thumbing through part of her senior project, a little ring-bound book of children's drawings.
This is Braden's. He drew a bunch of waves in the background.
Christian has known she wants to teach kindergarten since the 9th grade, was planning to start her education degree at University of Northern Colorado this fall, until the state-funded teacher development program she was relying on to pay for it ended up on the budgetary chopping block.
I worked hard. I did everything that I needed to do, and then right when I was about to be like, okay, I have the scholarship, and they're like, well, you did, but we don't have the money for it. And I was like, oh, like, that would have been great to know 4 years ago, so I had time to plan something else.
Christian says she now has no way to pay and might have to delay college to save up. She feels lawmakers discarded her, along with roughly 200 other high school seniors expecting to start the program this fall. But Republican Representative Rick Taggart, who's on the budget committee, says those students will be able to pivot.
I realize it throws a twist in their lives, but it can be done.
The budget committee, he says, put more weight on people who don't have alternatives.
We're trying to support our underserved population as our first priority.
There's no single explanation for the shortfall. It's one part slowing economy, one part restrictions on how much tax money the state can keep. Combine that with ballooning program costs, and you see where the trouble starts.
A lot of the problems we have now is because we overcommitted.
Democratic Representative Bob Marshall of Highlands Ranch.
We made promises we can't keep, but it's kind of disturbing sometimes the promises we decide to keep and the ones we don't.
Another broken promise, support for people with disabilities and their families. That includes Victoria Mowell, a single mom to 3 medically complex, special needs teenagers. She gets by because a Medicaid program pays for her to be their full-time caregiver.
I'm their chef. I'm their teacher. I'm their PT and OT therapist. I'm their transportation. I'm their case manager. I'm the person that's up with them in the middle of the night if they're sick, and it is 24 hours a day.
The budget proposal would cut payment for those caregiver hours in half. The Medicaid provider cuts will also shrink her paycheck. She could lose a full 2/3 of her income and worries about losing her home.
It'll destroy my family, and we may lose everything.
Democratic Representative Jeff Bridges co-chairs the budget committee and said that decision was one of the hardest.
These are the kinds of votes that keep me up at night. And there were tears, I think, from every member at some point.
In the Senate, lawmakers passed budget amendments that would save the teacher training fund for one last cohort and restore those caregiver hours. They could get stripped off the bill again as the Joint Budget Committee irons out a final version this week.
That was Ray Solomon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Audrey McCabe.